2 Corinthians, here's one more before we go to our last one. Look at 2 Corinthians 12 with Paul's life. You might want to just write this one down. 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. We need to look for God who are in the grip of pain, like Paul. And in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, Paul is in the grip of pain. And you know, we live with pain, and there are times in life where pain increases, and when pain's grip is just crushing us, we need to look for God, and we'll find, like Paul did, that God is sufficient. And that's what he says in verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in your weakness. Verse 10 at the end, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And when you're in the grip of pain, see and find that God is sufficient. But lastly, and this is where I want to close, back to the Old Testament. Look at Jeremiah 18. And this is what I've wanted all morning to share with you. And I'll try to get it out in 5 minutes. Jeremiah 18. Because when we... the last temptation, there's the temptation of despair and the den of passion and the cave of fear and the spotlight of pride and the fury of the storm and the grip of pain. But you know, most of us deal with something else all the time, and it's the gloom of failure. You know, when you do something and it doesn't turn out and you failed. A lot of people are gloomy all the time. They think they've failed in their whole life and they think they've failed in everything. And that's kind of somewhere where most of us are occasionally and more often than we want to admit. But we need to look for God when we're in the gloom of failure. And in Jeremiah 18, it gives us the key for this part of life. We'll find out, if we look for God in those moments when we're tempted to think we're a failure, we'll find out that God is shaping us through that failure. Now let me read this. And the word which came to Jeremiah of the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there you'll announce, I will announce my words to you. So I went to the potter's house, where he was, and he was making something on the wheel, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. And then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now listen to this. Jeremiah's woes were unimaginable to our relatively peaceful lives. He lived through the death throes of the nation of Judah. In his lifetime, he saw the decay of God's chosen people. He saw the horrible destruction of Jerusalem. He saw the deportation of his nation to Babylon. Jeremiah preached 40 years and never saw a single visible result among the people he served. Those countrymen he warned sought to kill him and told him to stop preaching doom, Jeremiah 11. His own family and friends were involved in plots against him in chapter 12. God never allowed him to marry, and he suffered incredible, agonizing loneliness in chapter 16. There were plots to kill him in secret so no one could find his body in chapter 18. In chapter 20, he was beaten severely, bound in wooden stocks. His friends spied on him deceitfully and got revenge against him. He was consumed by his own words with sorrow and shame. He even cursed the day he was born. In chapter 37, he is even falsely accused of being a traitor. He's arrested, beaten, and thrown into a pit, and would have starved to death if an Ethiopian servant had not fed him. And perhaps the most striking feature of this book is the fact that despite the terrible woes of the life of Jeremiah, he was called to that life, and he was told in chapter 18 that everything in his life came at the hand of the potter. At the point of near despair over his failed ministry, God asked Jeremiah to go and learn a lesson. And as Jeremiah entered the potter's house, the sight was vivid in spiritual application. He saw a wheel that revolved at the command of the potter's foot. And that's life. And life is at the command of God. And he is the one that's making the events take place. He saw the clay piled in a pot, useless and of no value. And the potter reached down and took the clay and took the water and put it onto the clay to soften it and make it malleable. And that's what trials and temptations are in our life. It's God shaping the clay of our lives and forming us and putting and working into our lives to try and soften us up to respond to him. And off to the side, Jeremiah saw the scrap pile where clay that would not yield, that wouldn't conform to the potter's hands, that failed to fulfill his design, was thrown to the side. You know what? The longer that I live, I see more and more people who say no to God, who are like unyielding clay. And God has to take them off the wheel and say, I can't work with you anymore. And he sets them aside. Don't be like that. When the temptation of failure, when the trials and the shaping of life comes from God, yield to his fingers pushing into our lives. Listen to the word of the Lord, verses 5 and 6 of Jeremiah 18. The word of the Lord said to me, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as a potter does? Behold, the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. And God says, I want to be the sovereign potter of your life and of my life, of their lives. He says, I am shaping you always with love and tenderness. And I'm absolutely skilled, God says, at shaping your life. I don't experiment, God says, because I'm omniscient. He says, anything in your life is not an experiment. I already know what you need. And when it comes into your life, it's what is in my plan. I don't make any mistakes because I'm omnipotent and I am the one who is in control of every situation. God says, my work is never spoiled by neglect. I'm omnipresent. You know, it's only when we try and assume his role as a potter in our lives or in the lives of others that the clay gets marred. The wheel of our heavenly potter molding our lives represents the circumstances and events that make up our lives. As we respond to each event God sends to us, it will shape our character. Our lives are like clay. We are chosen by God. We should not question our heredity, our temperament, or our place in life. Through the providential dealings of God, our sorrows, our joys, our prosperity, our adversity, all the trials and every temptation, all the blessings and all the bereavements, the Lord shapes our lives. And he just asks us to respond his way. I like the end of verse 4 the best because that's what I want to close with. It says, when the vessel was spoiled in the hand of the potter, he remade it into another. It reminds us of the hope we have that God wants to rework and remold our lives when we have failed him in any way. And the blessed message of hope that God offers is this: he doesn't throw us away if we'll respond to him. Rather, he will reshape us. Because God is the God of the second chance, quoting Peter the denier and Jacob the deceiver and Abraham the liar and Paul the murderer and John Mark the quitter, all would testify of that God is the God of the second chance. And the scriptures are filled with the testimonies of those who submitted to the potter and were reshaped into vessels that he could use. Well, I ask you this morning. Are you on the mountain of despair like Abraham? Just look around. God will supply what you need. Are you like Joseph in the den of passion? Then look around. God sees you and he's given you an escape route. Are you in the cave of fear and life is just pressing in on you? Then look up and find God will support you. Are you like Daniel at the prime of life and the spotlight of pride is on you? Then realize God sent you for that moment. Point to him. Are you sinking in the fury of the storms of life like Peter? Then when that happens, realize God will save you from sinking. Are you in the grip of pain like Paul? Then find God sufficient. But most of all, when you're in the gloom of failure, just stay on that wheel. Let God soften you and shape you and remold you again. And you and I will become the vessels of his choosing.